story, a parable, from the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with them. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'Perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" It's one of several stories in the New Testament, a genre that I would sort of colloquially entitle stories that the church has used to scare the hell out of you. The wheat and the chaff, the withered fig tree, the sheep and the goats, the punchline essentially being, watch out. Be ready to go to heaven. Which, in one sense, sort of negates the idea that Easter tells us, pay attention, for God has made heaven ready for you. It's an interesting juxtaposition and reversal of imagery in some of Jesus' stories and in the story of the resurrection. I think that stories like the wise and foolish maidens and the sheep and the goats and the wheat and the chaff are less designed to frighten us than to jar us out of a sense of complacency. Because I think the other effect of some of these stories is somewhat like little Jack Horner, who stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, "See how wise I am," or how much like wheat I am instead of chaff, or how much like sheep I am instead of goats. There's a complacency that goes with it that completely negates the larger point, in my view. One of a couple of things I'm going to talk about today that I learned in chaplaincy training is that when people talk to you, especially when talking to you about difficulties they're experiencing, it's often useful to read what's being said sort of inside out, read by reversal, that what's being said is often the opposite of where the true emotion is, and we have to work that through. Well, I'm going to take this story of the wise and foolish maidens and the punchline, "Be ready," and turn it inside out. Rather than saying, "Be ready lest something horrible happen to you," inside out it means, "Be ready for something wonderful to happen to you." It's really the same message, just with different metaphors and language. I did something silly last week or so. I ordered a new pair of sunglasses, which I do not need. I have a pair of sunglasses that are perfectly fine, perfectly serviceable, perfectly reasonable, but they're not half as cool as these. Picked them up Friday afternoon. Haven't seen the sun since. But I'm telling you, when the sun comes out, I am seriously ready. And the sun will come out. Be ready for something wonderful. I want to talk about metaphors of miracles today. And this meditation is by and large brought to you by the letter T, for all of these metaphors begin with the letter T. Be ready for a miracle once you have learned the value of training wheels. Remember that? Get your first bike, you're this high. And everybody knows that it's a dangerous thing to go from walking to riding a bike. It's a dangerous thing to go from any transition one to another. And training wheels kind of help. And eventually the training wheels come off and off you go. But it's the training process that teaches us to deal with things that will be of similar emotional content, but of greater emotional consequence later in life. The training process is useful. Another chaplaincy insight. What we mostly deal with when we're dealing with other people who are troubled is things that they have lost, the losses in their life, losses of health, losses of loved ones, and so on. And even though we're fairly young in life, as we were when I was being trained in that way, we know what losses are like. We get trained early in dealing with loss. Kids lose goldfish, turtles, cats. They do stupid things and lose out on stuff. First job I ever had that paid me money was as a caddy in a country club. And in those days, you got $4 for carting a heavy bag of golf clubs around 18 holes for old rich guys that by the 14th hole were pretty drunk. Nonetheless, I took my $4 one day and finished in midday, so there was enough time to get another opportunity to earn four more dollars and take $8 home, except I didn't. I took $6 home because in the course of waiting from one job to the next, I lost $2 in a poker game in the caddy shack, which was really stupid because I didn't know how to play poker then. But I learned, with training wheels on, don't draw to an inside straight, and a couple of other things. My point is, all of us have experienced those things when we've had the training wheels on that in effect prepare us for the bigger losses in life, because we all experience them. Point number two, brought to you by the letter T, metaphor for the miracle of perseverance. I bring you turnips. I don't know anybody that likes turnips, but I know that we've eaten them in our lives when people have sent them before us. And as unpleasant perhaps as they can be, I learned, and I don't know how I ever did any preaching before the internet, but I learned on the internet this week that turnips are wonderful things in their own way. They're low in saturated fat and cholesterol. They're high in dietary fiber, vitamin C, manganese, vitamin B6, folate, calcium, potassium, and copper. No need to suck on pennies when you can eat turnips. The nutritional value of the turnip makes it ideal for maintaining optimum health and weight loss, and it's also reported in research to be useful in fighting arthritis and in reducing the harmful effects of hormones that seem to feed things like breast cancer. It's good for you. The metaphor here is that experiencing difficult times teaches us something. It makes us stronger. One of the things that we talk about in my classes when we talk about marriage and family and relationships is that the failure rate, or the divorce rate, if you will, for second and subsequent marriages is actually higher than the divorce rate for first marriages. And that's in part the case because a substantial number of people who go from one relationship to another have not stopped to eat the turnips, to learn and to draw strength from the unpleasantness and bring it to the next relationship. We keep doing more of what we know doesn't work in the hopes that it might, which is Einstein's classic definition of insanity. There are things that happen to us, things that we bring on ourselves or that just flat out happen to us, that force us to eat turnips and in effect try to learn from and grow from and draw strength from the unpleasantness such that we can move forward. Most everybody I know, certainly the three kids in our life, were in a significant relationship in high school, for example, that had it led to marriage, it would have been a disaster. But they learned something and brought it to what's now a successful relationship with wonderful grandkids and so on. And how it will work out in the future is anybody's guess, but the point is they've got what they have because they've eaten a few turnips along the way, as have all of us. Even the big losses in our lives, the losses of things related to our own health, losses we've experienced on the job of our own making or of circumstances beyond our control, losses in our lives of people we have loved dearly, have given us the opportunity to receive strength from others and then become for others sources of strength. Here's how you go through the turnip eating process, and we've learned to teach others what we've experienced and give them safe passage through it. And in our lives, That seems to be characteristic. And so we eat the turnips, among other things. Now, I don't begin to suggest that when you're at a nice restaurant and the vegetable of the day is buttered garlic snap peas, that you say, oh, no, thanks, I'd rather have the turnips. You'll get plenty of those anyway. Draw strength from the experience of having gone through difficulty. And you become not only stronger and in odd ways more faithful, more ready for the inbreaking of the light. And you also become a resource for others. And finally, the inbreaking of the light. One of the, I think, most apt metaphors for the way God seems to interact with us in what he has created and given to us is in spring flowers. Miracle metaphor number 3, training wheels, turnip, and tulips. They're about gone now, but they showed up a month or so ago, inbreaking color from the grayness of winter. They only last a couple of weeks. They disappear. And yet next year, for complete lack of any of our tending to them, the bulbs will sprout again and the spring flowers will break through. And they persevere, oddly enough. I have a picture of, looks like about a half a dozen tulips covered in snow. Picture was taken 2 weeks ago in Santa Fe. A metaphor, an image of the promise that the snow and the gray doesn't win. The sun came out the next day and melted the snow, and the tulips survived. And they'll be back next year. Be ready, says the New Testament, for the images of perseverance and prevailing. Spring flowers, among many other things, are really miracles. And they will persevere and survive and grow and thrive, as will we all. And all we need do is be ready. And we'll see our way through. Amen.